Welcome to the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Football, rankings, debates, dad stuff, with your host, Justin Williams and Matt Renshaw.
And welcome everyone to this edition of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. I am your host, Justin Williams, and with me, as always, my good friend, Matt Renshaw. Matt, how are you today?
It's good. It's Wednesday. Short week for me this week.
It is Wednesday.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Why is it a short week for you?
We have an in-service day, so I have Friday off. So we go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then I get a three-day weekend.
Well, congratulations on that.
It's a good day to have off.
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that aren't too bad, we are brought to you by DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
And our bosses will be happy with that one.
That's a all good segue right into that.
DynastyTradeCalculator.com. Not too bad. Yeah, they'll love that.
They love it. They love us.
So I hope you guys are buckled in for the final show of the Dynasty Dads podcast.
Well, not with a bang.
Geez, Matt, what a week. And we got a lot of football to talk about. Yeah, I have a ton of news and notes to go with.
More injuries.
We got injuries left and right. Baker Mayfield running his mouth. We don't know what to do about Saquon Barkley Monday night. We're going to talk about that. We have the Green Bay Packers hell week to break down. Yeah, and Matt Nagy is still a terrible head coach. But first, I need to know a Renshaw family story. Hit me with it.
So this week, it's going to result in me asking you a question, but we went out of town, hung out with the in-laws in Des Moines. Brother-in-law, sister-in-law came into town, and we hung out in Des Moines. But I took the boy out with me, 18 months, something like that. One morning, he gets up early. So I took him to Dunkin' Donuts, got me a coffee, said, you know what? We're going to split a donut. And we got a donut, one of those, like, don't tell mom kind of stories with your kid.
Okay.
Dad, the kid kind of ratted on me.
Sure.
Came back, cleaned his face. Awesome, cool. No evidence of said donut. Give mom the blanket. And she goes, why is there chocolate frosting on his blanket? Kid used his blanket as a napkin, and we got caught because.
As one does.
Yeah, I mean.
As one does.
It wasn't like a big deal, but I'm like, man. So I was thinking, like, I wonder if, like, what do you have any, like, don't tell mom stories with either? That you can say on air.
Not off the top of the head. I really don't. It just happens, though.
Oh, yeah.
You just can't trust kids.
I'm like, dude, I literally looked at him and was like, man, you had one job. Like,
what's the problem with the kid having a donut?
Nothing. There wasn't one. Just had.
Is there a problem with you having half a donut?
No.
Then why the secrecy?
Cause I gave him sugar at 6:30 in the morning.
That's what kids get. That's like their whole, like, that's like every kid's breakfast. If it's not in a donut form, it's going to be in a cereal bowl.
He's 18 months a baby? Oh no, I know.
Our metabolisms are crazy good at that age.
Yeah. I don't know. It's better than mine.
I just didn't know if there's another problem at home.
No,
like you
no.
feel like you have to hide
another problem half, at home?
Like no. I just didn't know if there's something you want to talk about. It's just me and you here.
Stop it. No, it's just nothing me and like you. That. Shut up.
We can talk about it.
No, it's just like one of those, like,
hey, does she hit you?
Stop.
Can you not have half donuts? What about the donut holes? Can you have the donut holes?
How many donut holes equal a donut?
I would imagine, like, so you get the one out of the middle, and then you would think, I'd think like six, yeah.
Yeah.
Total. Like five around the donut hole.
Is it better to take six bites of a regular donut or six donut holes?
Oh, six bites.
Yeah, I'd rather have. I like the jelly-filled donuts.
I could finish an entire donut in six in a bites, bite? Like less than by far.
Yeah. I was thinking like four.
Four is like, if I'm like, I don't know, if I have like people watching me and I want to be like courteous. It's just, if it's just me trying to eat a donut as fast as possible, I could do that sucker in three.
How many bites for a Taco John's burrito?
Depends on the burrito, Matt. Are we talking a crunchy chicken and potato burrito? Are we talking a beef burrito with no onions? This is a super burrito.
Your burrito of choice. This, and Taco John's is not paying us for this segment.
No, they're not. They're not. Mr. John's should. If it's just a beef burrito, Matt, with no onions, because I like my breath to be decent for the day, I would say if I tried, I got a pretty big mouth. Probably four, maybe.
No way.
Four would be like a bad day. I could probably do three if I really push myself.
Next week's opening might hit the back of my throat. Is how many bites to eat this beef burrito with no onions?
Yeah, I think I will
pay for the burrito.
Yeah, next week I'm going to have these burritos here, and I'll just see how deep my mouth is.
What's your kid story before we get off the rails?
Yeah, kids. So, Carson, my son, his football season came to an end, as we talked about, I think the last time I was here, last week's show.
Yeah, where they had a tournament out of town.
Well, they had their regular season. They had their league tournament, and they made it to the championship game, and they lost terribly. Yep. Got killed.
Everybody got hurt.
Yes.
Like the New York Giants.
So this week, the team had an awards ceremony. Okay. Where they gave all the kids essentially, you know, conference championship, little trophies, and then they handed out individual awards, like MVP and there's a most coachable award, best lineman, you know, stuff like that. Carson actually won most improved.
Nice.
Most improved player, which I was extremely proud of him for. Yeah. So I thought that was really cool. He was pretty happy with it too. The coach had nothing. Coach actually got in front of everybody and said something nice about, you know, all the kids that won the award, and said something very nice about Carson, and said that it was his first year playing tackle football, and from where he started to where he ended was just night and day. One of the very few players that played one position and started every down and never lost that job all season long. He was the starting left guard for every snap all season long.
Wow.
Which was pretty cool. So yeah, that made him feel really good. And now they have a tournament about 3 hours away from here this weekend, a 3-game tournament, round robin tournament, which is going to be
experience. 3 games in 1 weekend?
3 games in 1 weekend. 2 games on Saturday, 1 game on Sunday. And Sunday's Halloween. So that'll be fun.
Yeah. Give them sugar at 6:30 in the morning.
Shit, I'm afraid if I do that, my wife might, you know, hit me or something. It sounds like it sounds like the consequences are really,
no,
really high.
No,
half just a donut. I'm just saying, if you ever want to talk, I can turn this off right now, Matt. We could talk about it.
Stop it.
Is that a bruise? Is that a new bruise? Let's, you know what? Let's get these over with. Let's do the stories. It's story time, Matt. We're done with story time, I should say. It's news and notes time. I wanted to start off with a couple of injury updates for the week. Baker Mayfield is running his mouth saying that it's possible that he plays in week 8 against the Steelers. I should remind everybody, he said the same shit last week and he couldn't go.
Do you not like Baker Mayfield?
I'm not a fan. Antonio Brown for the Buccaneers was spotted with a crutch at Wednesday's practice, so that's something to keep an eye on. And then it came out right before we got on the air. Head coach Bruce Arians says that he's dealing with says that Antonio Brown is dealing with a sprain near his ankle, which reportedly could be a long-term injury. Which that's not.
You know what I thought when I heard that?
What'd you thought?
Did he not wear socks in the cryo freezer thing again? Like, is this stem from that?
Another one, nothing new, but DeAndre Hopkins missed practice this week. And he plays Thursday night. Pretty normal for him, though. And it's also being reported that Gronk is a go this week versus the Saints.
Good. Are we going to talk about the Buccaneers football trade? What they traded for Tom Brady's 600th touchdown?
Oh, you know what? We probably should. We'll do that in a little bit. I think what we need to do is we've wasted way too much time talking bullshit. I think we need to get into like the football news, and we'll touch on that though.
All right.
But first, Matt, we really got to talk about the J-E-T-S, Jets are looking for a Q-U-A-R-T-E-R-B-A-C-K. Quarterback. Just doesn't have the same ring to it.
They traded for one.
Yeah, they sure did. They're going to turn to Mike White this week against the Bengals. White, a 26-year-old fifth-round draft pick from 2018, has been announced as the starting quarterback now that Zach Wilson's down and out with a knee injury. White was forced into last week's contest after an injury and finished with 202 yards, two interceptions, and a touchdown that he threw on his first attempt.
Woohoo!
So it went very downhill from there. The Jets have also traded for Joe Flacco. Matt,
yes.
The Jets offense has to be in full-blown avoid mode. Am I right?
Yeah. Do you know who drafted Mike White?
No, not without looking, I don't.
Dallas Cowboys.
You know what? I remember that. I do remember
that.
Do you
really?
Wow. Yeah, now that you say something.
They said the name, and I was like, Mike White's still in the league, huh? Yeah, after the Cowboys got rid of him, signed with the Jets, been there ever since. Anyway, yes, stay away from the Jets, all of now, them.
Would you like to play a round of Jets trivia with me, our favorite game?
I love it. I've never not wanted to play Jets trivia.
Other than the quarterback position, so just completely remove quarterbacks from this equation, okay?
Okay.
Who do you think has the most yards from scrimmage on this roster so far this season? And I'll narrow it down for you.
Is it an offensive player?
It's an offensive player. Okay. Most yards from scrimmage. Okay.
Got it.
Ty Johnson, Corey Davis, or Michael Carter?
I would bet it's Corey Davis.
Who's second? Michael Carter or Ty Johnson?
Ty Johnson.
So Michael Carter's third from yards from scrimmage.
Yeah. Am I wrong?
You were correct on Corey Davis and then Michael Carter and then Ty Johnson.
Then your boy.
Their yards from scrimmage. We are through seven weeks. Their yards from scrimmage. 349 for Corey Davis, 333 for Michael Carter, 217 for Ty Johnson. That offense is worthless.
Right now it is, yeah.
Worthless. But that's what I guess my whole point is, like, that offense, it's not just a quarterback problem, I don't think.
No, it's a Jets problem.
Offensive and talent problem, like all the way around.
He's none of the rookie quarterbacks are doing. Who's the best rookie quarterback right now?
I mean, that's like saying who's the
It's not. You stop it right
principal
now.
Of a homeschool, same thing.
There's one rookie quarterback that is tearing it up.
Which one is tearing it up?
McCorkle.
Who?
McCorkle Jones. Mac Jones.
Patriot. Oh,
stupid. You didn't know his name was McCorkle?
No. Just like I just learned the other day that Dak Prescott is Dakota Rain Prescott.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Man, terrible. Are you going to tell everybody your real name?
What's my real name again? I forgot. I'm waiting.
For what?
You said, are you going to tell everybody my real name?
Yeah.
What's my real name?
What's your real name, Justin?
I was setting you up for the...
I don't have one.
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't know if you're going to go like Justin Time.
Oh.
I didn't know where you were going with it.
No, I wasn't going anywhere.
Justin Credible. I didn't know. Moving on to that from that failed joke, Saquon Barkley worked out with trainers in Wednesday's walkthrough. Sterling Shepard, Kenny Galladay, and Kadarius Toney were also working with trainers. ESPN's Jordan Rannon probably characterized their status as a race against time, with one or two of the skill players likely to play in Week 8 and the others missing the game. The Giants will be attempting to keep up with the Chiefs on Monday night, and even with Patrick Mahomes struggling, they're going to need all the help that they can get. Matt, what would your advice be for governors with some of these banged up guys and their MNF status in the air? I mean, if you have Saquon Barkley and he's active, he's a guy you have to start.
Yeah, but you don't know if he's going to be active.
That's the thing, and it's Monday Night Football.
Right, so you don't play him.
And his backup is probably on a roster somewhere in your league. So Booker. You just keep him out of your lineup altogether on Sunday?
I mean, if you have Booker, you can switch it, but, yeah, I mean, you can't chance it.
So that would be your strategy, huh?
That'd be my –
So let's say that leaves you with, I don't know, Michael Carter.
Okay. Who is the second number two player in the Jets offense with yards.
Thank you. Time. Thank you very much. Yes.
Yeah.
Are you going to, you're willing to start Michael Carter instead of, I don't know, possibly taking a zero with Saquon Barkley?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, okay. I guess it depends on the rest of my roster, but Barkley may not play. I would, unless, like, I have to play high upside guys, I'll take the guaranteed 6 points from Carter versus the possible zero from Barkley. Now, if I'm short and I need it, I don't have anybody else I can really play, it's not worth it. Take your gamble, but don't be shocked if you get a zero.
See, in the league that I'm in where I have Barkley on my squad, I'm second to last in the league.
So you could play him.
Yeah, so I'm gonna throw Barkley in the lineup and just hope he plays.
Wait, do you play me
in that league, the ESPN league?
Oh, it's ESPN league. Okay,
the redraft.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's the one. Dolphins coach Brian Flores said that Malcolm Brown will be placed on injured reserve. Brown started for Miami in Week 7, but played just 5 snaps before exiting with a quad injury. His absence narrows the backfield to 2 runners, Miles Gaskin and Salvin Ahmed. Gaskin turned 15 carries into 67 yards with Brown sidelined. Ahmed saw 7 carries and was also out-targeted by Gaskin 4-2. It looks like Gaskin will be the lead back with Brown out for at least 3 weeks, but fantasy managers should proceed with caution. Flores has seemingly chosen a different runner to lean on every week, making this one of the most volatile timeshares in the NFL. Matt, any comment on the Dolphins backfield situation?
Not on the backfield. Just the Dolphins in general. Are we going to talk about the Watson stuff?
You know what, Matt? This is your show. Go ahead.
No, start Brown. Start Brown. Stay away from all Dolphins. They're all trash right now. Like, start Jalen Waddle. He's good. Will Fuller's out. Devontae Parker's hurt. Mike Gesicki actually has been someone that has surprised me. And I would actually start Tua because Tua isn't the reason that they're bad.
But that doesn't mean that – I mean, and that might be true, but that doesn't mean you're going to get fantasy production out of him. It doesn't mean he should be starting.
Out of Tua, he threw 4 touchdowns last week.
I know. He had a great week last week. Do you think with them losing Brown that like – increases anyone's value other than like Gaskin or Ahmad?
No.
Like, does that help maybe influence the passing game, you know, to kind of push it a little bit more? They probably
throw a little more, but not enough. Yeah, Brown's the goal line back. Brown, I mean, Gaskin had a big week, 2 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. It's a crapshoot. The Brian Flores came from the Patriots where you never know who's going to be the running back to pop off. I feel like this is the same situation.
It's game plan dependent.
Yeah.
Week to week, yeah. Rest of the way, Gaskin or Ahmed? Ahmed.
Gaskin.
Okay. It's not close for you?
Not even close, no. I have like Brown in a few places, but.
Okay. That's fair. Man, I want to have a little segment that I like to call the Green Bay Packers Hell Week. Bum, bum, bum. Packers left tackle David Bakhtiari. I choose you.
Bakhtiari.
Pokemon level 4 Charizard card. I don't know. Well, dude, anyways,
chug a beer on the Bucks sideline.
The left tackle is not going to be activated in time to play against the Cardinals Thursday Night Football. He's practicing, but the Packers head coach Matt LaFleur indicated that he will not be activated from the PUP list in time for Thursday night. There is some optimism that he will be available when the Packers play the Chiefs in Week 9. Left tackle. But how do you say it? Bacardi?
Bah.
Cardi B.
Batiari.
Beyonce. Okay. Anyways,
Batiari.
He was Pro Football Focus top graded pass blocker in 2020 and will provide a meaningful boost to an offense that is already operating at a high level. So there we go. Well, that's the start of it. You're not going to have your left tackle on Thursday Night Football, where obviously we've talked about this many times on the show before. Offenses on Thursday Night Football sometimes just don't have it together. You're really relying on overall talent on Thursday Night Football.
Okay. Rodgers has that.
So, and he does. He does, but he doesn't have his left tackle. Or, and the Cardinals defense, not bad. Not bad. That rush is pretty good. Undefeated team so far. Yep. Last remaining. So let's continue, because I said it's a hell week. So the Packers placed Devontae Adams on the reserve / COVID-19 list. Players who are vaccinated must return 2 negative COVID-19 tests 24 hours apart to be activated from the reserve COVID list. Defensive coordinator Joe Barry previously tested positive, which sent the entire team into advanced COVID protocols. All right. All right. So we're down our left tackle. And now we're down our number one wide receiver, one of the, arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL. And we have Thursday Night Football against the undefeated Cardinals. So we're not looking good, right?
But wait, there's more.
Thank you. Packers place wide receiver Allen Lazard on the reserve COVID list. Lazard is out for week 8 against the Cardinals, where he'll be joining Devontae Adams. So now we're down starting left tackle, who's stellar. Devontae Adams, who is also a playmaker, stellar wide receiver. And Allen Lazard, who was, you know, would have been, I mean, the de facto number one wide receiver for the Packers, I would assume. Right. At least there in the
conversation.
In the conversation. So that's not good.
But you got anybody else? I was like, is there more?
Well, it didn't look good until today. But I guess there's a little bit of glimmer of hope here. Pro Football Focus Doug Keed probably reports that current expectation is that Packers wide receiver Marquez Valdes-Scantling will be activated off of injured reserve and play in week 8 against the Cardinals. It would be much needed news for the Packers, who will be without Devontae Adams and Allen Lazard. So yeah, Valdes-Scantling would, if he ends up playing, would immediately be the wide receiver one for Aaron Rodgers by default and could step into big air yards. It's always a risky start to have a player fresh from a hammy injury, but Valdes-Scantling could be he could have a big role. So Matt, let's talk about it. We got MVS. Let's say he plays. You got Randall Cobb and you got Equator St. Brown, Equanimous. Equator. Then you also have that Robert Tonyan fella.
That's the one.
I was going to say, why don't you list those guys for me on who scores, fantasy-wise, the most to least on Thursday night?
Tonyan, Cobb.
Wow.
What do you mean, wow?
I wouldn't have started
with Tonyan. Tonyan last week. I
wouldn't have started with Tonyan, but go ahead.
Tonyan, Cobb. ESB's the last one on the list. So was there 4?
You skipped over Scantling. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, MVS.
MVS would be 3rd.
Huh.
Didn't expect that?
I would have flopped those. I would have did Cobb and then 1. MVS and then Tonyan and then the Equator.
Yeah, Equator's done. His brother's not good either.
I feel very, very confident that Cobb scores Thursday.
Oh, absolutely. And Tonyan will too.
I don't know if I'm all – I don't know if I'm there with Tonyan. If he does it again, we could talk.
He's back.
Give me 1 sec. Why don't you keep talking about Tonyan for a second? I want to look at something.
But Tunyon's super cheap right now. He's had a few down weeks, scored a touchdown last week. I would take him. I like Tonyan. That's just me. I'm sure somebody's going to come out of – like Aaron Jones is probably going to get a ton of receptions out of the backfield. A.J. Dillon will get some of the bulk carries. That'll probably be the – he'll probably be the one that benefits the most from all these wide receivers being out is A.J. Dillon.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate the stalling. Randall Cobb, according to DraftKings.com,
stop being, I don't know. I'm not going to go there.
Terrible. Not your best work. Randall Cobb is plus 225 to score a touchdown at any point during the game on Thursday. Robert Tonyan, the same exact odds.
See? It's not that crazy.
Nope, it's not. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, plus 250. So right there with him. And then the Equator, plus 400.
Get out of here with him. He's not, I don't know. Give me, I don't know. I don't even know. Like, I would take Rodgers to score, like, a rushing touchdown over Equator to score a receiving touchdown.
Funny you say that. Rodgers to score a touchdown outside of a passing touchdown is plus 450.
See? I would take that.
I would think that's a much higher. Yeah, just a little sneak or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he can say, I don't own you.
Yeah, what a weird thing to say, I thought. It
just was so like, mad. I almost texted you and said, like, he should have said govern. Like, what a terrible.
I was waiting for somebody to tweet at me, and no one did.
I didn't do it.
Well,
he governs the Bears.
For those of you curious, Aaron Jones is the biggest favorite to score Thursday night at minus 120, and that's of the entire field. That's everybody involved. So,
yeah.
Which is kind of tells you a lot, really. Tells you a lot about his season. Well, that's it. That's the hell week. Should be a fun game. But Cardinals by 14. So,
ooh, what's the spread?
Oh, shit. Of course, idiot.
You don't have that?
One second. It's right. The Cardinals are favored by 6.
So you're taking them by 14.
I think they clear that 6 like by a lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Last time we talked about a Thursday night football game betting, we were completely wrong, Robinson and I.
A good friend of ours who is a major Packer fan, he made that bet before the Davante Adams news came out. And I want to tell you the line. Just one second.
Before the Adams news came out?
He had the Packers plus 4. He laid $100 on it. So he could have had him plus 6, which is a big difference.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, that sucks. That really does suck.
Just next time pay us, we'll kick you in the nuts.
There's a lot of money to be made there, Matt. A lot of guys will pay you to kick them in the nuts.
Really?
If you're an attractive woman.
Oh, is that a thing?
It's a thing. Look it up.
No, I'm on a school computer. I'm not doing that.
Well, don't do it on your school computer. Do it on your home computer.
That's a real thing.
Oh, it's absolutely a thing. You never see that?
We are going off. No, I've never seen someone pay someone.
Oh, yeah. They just have these girls kick them right in the nards. It's great.
I don't know if you're messing with me or not.
I'm dead serious. It's totally a thing. Have our listeners tweet at us.
About the times they
hired a hooker to kick them in the balls.
Why would you do that?
It's a pain thing, Matt. It's a pain thing. It's kind of like how you're still with your wife, even though she hits you because you eat half a donut some mornings. The Bears head coach, Matt Nagy, said he has tested positive. Matt, come back. Don't leave.
To cover the bruise.
Anyways, Bears head coach Matt Nagy said he has tested positive for COVID-19. Nagy is one of 4 people in the Bears organization who has tested positive for the virus. Nagy, who is vaccinated, will need to test negative for COVID twice this week if he's going to be on the sideline for the team's Week 8 game against this is wrong. It says against Chicago. Who do the Bears play? Look that up.
Bears?
Yeah, the Bears.
I want to say this. Can I go off on a tangent here for a second?
Why not?
The Bears have had nothing but negative news, but they finally got a positive out of Matt Nagy.
Well, that's not funny. Why is that funny?
It's the one positive Matt Nagy has had all season.
I am so disappointed in myself for laughing at that. They play the 49ers.
They do. Sunday at noon.
Okay. 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 Okay.
Sorry. I had to. That joke wrote itself.
Nagy's positive COVID test comes as the team's season is circling the proverbial drain following a week 7 drubbing at the hands of the Bucks, who toyed with the Bears on Sunday. Hardly anything can go worse for the Bears in 2021, though one wouldn't want to jinx it. In related news, Justin Fields has excelled with play action passes this season. Hey, there's something, right?
Who'd have guessed?
Posted a 99 passer rating according to, or compared to a, 49.7 passer rating on straight dropbacks. Okay, there we go. So we found something Justin Fields is really good at.
Yeah, Matt Nagy. But
the problem, of course, is that Matt Nagy and the Bears have used play action on 1 in 4 field attempts this year.
He's so bad.
Yeah. Add that to the list of grievances against Nagy. Fields has completed 65.6% of his passes when using play action, 11% higher than his non-play action throws. His yards per attempt jumped, or they jump from 5.8 without play action to 7.6 with play action. The Bears' offense was as stale as ever in their Week 7 demolition against Tampa, doing nothing in the way of misdirection or creative play calling. Nagy seems content letting Fields drop back like a traditional pocket passer. Hopefully Chicago's next coach will recognize Fields' potential as a dual threat quarterback. Matt, does this scream buy low to you?
On Fields?
On Fields.
Absolutely. I love Justin Fields. He's my QB2 coming out. I keep trying to think, like, who would be a great head coach for Fields? Because Nagy's not going to last. I don't think he makes it through the season, but
no.
I just, the after insisting that Andy Dalton was going to start and not being, not being willing to change the playbook and play to your guys' success, like, stop it. You did the same thing with Mitch Trubisky. You did this, you didn't change your playbook. And I don't know. So I'm hoping for Eric Bieniemy in Chicago, but maybe not. Brian Daboll, maybe from Buffalo. Those are my top options. If you can buy them, if we're talking Superflex League, what's the price? 2 firsts?
I mean, a Superflex has to be pretty decent.
I was going to say.
But, like, the dude has the potential to be, like, in a 12-team league, does he have the potential to be a QB1?
Yes.
Okay. Like, within the next 2 to 3 years?
Yes. Jalen Hurts is a QB1, and he sucks. He can't throw the ball.
You know what? It's funny you mentioned Jalen Hurts. The Athletic's Bo Wolf, probably, said that he would be surprised at this point if we don't see Gardner I Choose You Minshew.
Do it.
Start some games this season.
Do
the
it.
The Eagles continue grappling for an offensive identity, starting a dual threat quarterback for whom the coaching staff won't design unique game plans. Amid Philadelphia's weekly offensive struggles, Wolf said that head coach Nick Sirianni, needs to back Jalen Hurts completely until he's ready to make a move, even if he's considering it behind the scenes. But if Hurts continues to regress, the Eagles will owe it to themselves to give I Choose You Minshew a look. The reasons you outlined are true, although I do think there's value in evaluating Minshew as the Eagles move into the offseason, end quote. Hurts has gotten by for fantasy purposes, thanks to garbage time production, both through the air and on the ground. His overall numbers leave quite a bit to be desired, though. Hurts' 7.1 yards per attempt is 22nd amongst all QBs. His adjusted completion rate is 29th, and his completion rate while under pressure is 31%, ranks 31st. So if you want to, like we've talked about, Matt, you can make numbers do all sorts of things. But boy, those are pretty damn bad. And I know you're not a big Jalen Hurts guy.
Bortles 2.0. Garbage time machine can run.
Jalen Hurts' mama listens to the show. So
I'm sorry, Mrs. Hurts, but your son's play hurts me. It's terrible. He's a good running back. Put him there. Put Minshew at quarterback. They need to figure out what they're going to do with him because they have 2 top 10 picks right now. Mm-hmm. And I can already hear people going, wait a minute, why aren't you on Sirianni about being a terrible coach for Hurts?
Right.
Because Sirianni didn't bring in Hurts. Nagy picked up Fields. Sirianni's going to get his guy, going to get someone that can run his system. Nagy handpicked Fields. That's the difference between the two. I don't think Hurts is a good quarterback. I've said for a year and a half now that Hurts is not a good quarterback. The only reason people like him is because he scores points, because he runs. But even last week, he didn't even run that much. What do you have, like 7 carries for 15 yards?
But don't you think maybe that's because there's no game plan for him? Like, they're treating him like a drop back passer, and he's just not that guy.
No, but he's not. He's a running back. That's the guy he is. Put him at running back. Could you imagine? I get it. He's not built like a running back.
Right.
But Minshew at quarterback, Hurts in the backfield, Sanders, who they don't use. You could do pitch passes. That offense could get super creative if you wanted to with 2 quarterbacks in the backfield.
But doesn't that say more about the coach than Jalen Hurts?
Why? What do you mean?
What do you mean? Jalen Hurts, you're pretty much making the case for me. It's the coach's fault that the coach can't come up with something like that, that it can't create any kind of game plan whatsoever for Hurts. He's treating him like a player that he's just not.
Like
Hurts deserves to be a starter. Hurts is talented. We can agree with that.
Not.
He might not be the best fit for this quarterback system, but I think Hurts in a system that actually realizes what he is, it might work. It might work.
Like Alabama?
Alabama.
Like, he's not a starting quarterback in the NFL. I'm sorry. I know that hurts people's feelings. He's just not good.
I just think you might be incorrect, but
maybe. I've been wrong before. Just rare.
Yes, that's true. That is very true. You have been wrong before. Hey, just speaking rare. Of being wrong, are we doing do you have a Renshaw Renegade today?
Yes, I have 2.
Okay. Well, I will just pick a couple more stories and we'll wrap it up. Let's see, what do I want to do? The Panthers suck. Let's talk about the Panthers. Panthers head coach Matt Rhule said that the Panthers needed more from the run game.
They need more from every game. The quarterback sucks too.
They had a lopsided Week 7 loss to the Giants. Rhule went into Week 7 determined to establish the run at any cost. Matt, you and I, we talked about that on the show last week.
Yep.
The Panthers consequently had 7 rushing attempts on their opening drive against a soft Giants defense, and lead back Chewbacca Hubbard finished with 12 rushes for 28 yards. Along with 4 receptions for 28 yards. He blamed himself and other Carolina coaches for not coaching Sam Darnold well enough, end quote, insisting the team struggles aren't about Sam, who was benched on Sunday. Another quote from Rhule. We needed more from the run game. We needed some explosive plays. We needed some guys to make some big catches. Rhule discovered, as most head coaches of bad teams do, that establishing the run is difficult when playing from behind, as the Panthers did in Week 7. Hubbard should continue to see solid usage when Carolina can create neutral or positive game script. This might come as soon as Week 8. They go against the Falcons. Matt, any response?
Falcons are trash. Actually, Kyle Pitts has been a nice, he's been doing well. Does Carolina need McCaffrey back? Like, what are they playing for right now? Are they going to win the division? Probably not.
I think it's time to get a little nervous if McCaffrey doesn't come back, though. Like, they need something. It really tells you how good McCaffrey is. I mean, this team is nothing without him.
No, that's true. That's why they're paying him a gazillion dollars.
That's an accurate number. Gazillion.
Gazillion. Is he still your 101?
What's that?
Is McCaffrey still your 101? You draft right now?
No.
Okay.
He's actually not in my consideration.
Gotcha. I don't think so either.
Kyle Pitts has lined up out wide on 31.6% of his snaps this season, the highest rate amongst tight ends. Pitts' encouraging usage in the Atlanta offense has finally paid off with back-to-back outstanding performances in which the rookie tallied 16 receptions for 282 yards and a touchdown. No tight end is running more routes on the outside of the formation, and only 5 tight ends have run a greater percentage of slot routes than Pitts through 7 weeks. Pitts has lined up as an inline tight end on a mere 12% of his snaps this year. That's crazy.
Breaking news.
Go ahead.
The Houston Texans have made a trade.
Oh, shit, official. Really?
Oh, it's God. Official.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
They have made a trade with the New Orleans Saints. Mark Ingram going home.
What? Are you serious?
I swear. Yes.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Mark Ingram.
Good for Mark Ingram.
He's your boy. It's the only reason I interrupted.
You know who's going to be really happy about that? Alvin Kamara.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're buds. They need something. We watched the game. Kamara's the only thing they got. And Michael Thomas is coming back. They're getting the band back together.
Mark Ingram going there does literally nothing for that offense, though.
No, none whatsoever. But
it really doesn't. And my knee-jerk reaction to that, Matt, is that Mark Ingram's value, what little value he has right now, drops.
Would you still trade a second for Mark Ingram?
I don't think so. No, that's a deep cut.
Oh, that's a really deep cut.
Okay. So let's talk about that, and then we'll get to the Renegades because we're right there with time.
Yeah, yeah.
So Mark Ingram, he's on the Saints. Let's talk value up or down for Mark Ingram.
Up.
Value up. I disagree. Value down.
Not much, but he goes from being worth a fourth round pick to a third round pick.
Oh, I hate you. Alvin Kamara, value up or value down?
This will help him.
I think so too. Fresh.
I mean, he's catching more balls. They might as well line him up out of receiver, but because they got nothing else out there. Yeah, I think it's good. Bring in a familiar face. He knows the offense.
I think it helps too. So let's talk the other side then. Let's talk the Texans.
Okay.
Value up or value down for David Johnson?
I think he's going to get traded too.
But value has to go up though for the time
being. Can't go down.
Right.
I mean, he's already, yeah. Philip Lindsay, the same thing.
Right.
One less mouth to feed in Houston.
Exactly. Exactly. And David Johnson the whole Mark Ingram and David Johnson thing being on the same roster didn't make sense to me. Because those guys are like, they're not the same, but they're pretty close.
Yeah.
Like that's why I was so high on Philip Lindsay going into the season because he was just the outlier. He was
different.
The exact opposite of both those dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Do you know what they traded for? Like what they gave up?
They traded
probably a six round pick.
No, it doesn't say yet.
It can't be much.
Yeah, it does not say. Twitter's blowing up though. Is Brandon Cooks traded to New England next?
Oh God.
Yeah.
Oh God. Matt, I have some other stories here. I'm just gonna hit on them just real fast, and we'll get to the Renegades. DJ Shark, he's out for the rest of the season. His year is done. He's injured. Wasn't doing a ton. But that leaves Marvin Jones and Laviska Shenault. Marvin Jones is absolutely killing it as far as, like, usage goes. J.D. McKissic played 46 offensive snaps in the Week 7 loss to the Packers. That's notable because it seems like Antonio Gibson is not going to be a top running back by season's end. A lot of people were projecting him to be top five. Not going to happen. Jerry Jeudy's going to be available week 8, which will be great for the Denver Broncos. It's also looking like Teddy Bridgewater and Albert O, the tight end, are going to be a go as well. Maybe Denver makes a push, you know, actually starts getting some wins. Who knows? And Odell Beckham Jr. is not planning to have surgery on either of his injured shoulders during the season. Matt, I'm not sure if you're aware, but you only have two of those. Yeah.
He tore his ACL in both shoulders.
Yeah, we're really close to time for Beckham just to pack it up.
He's done, right?
He's
not the same guy.
No. I think what has me kind of holding on hope a little bit though is Case Keenum, when he was under center, he really relied on Beckham and Jarvis. He targeted one of those two guys 14 of his 33 pass attempts. So just under half.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, not too bad.
It's a little
shabby.
Yeah.
All right, Renegades, here we go.
All right, I got two. I got a running back and I got a wide receiver, and one of them is only on rosters in 9% of leagues. And they're tearing it up. So we'll start with the running back, Samaje Perine, currently rostered in 43% of leagues. Last 2 weeks, averages 11 carries and more than 50 yards. He's getting receiving work. If you'd have told me that he would actually be a flex option in Cincinnati behind Joe Mixon, I would have laughed at you. But he's plug and play if you need it out there in about 57% of leagues. 9%er, a name coming back from the grave, Dante Pettis. The last 2 weeks, he's had 5 receptions each week, 16 total targets the last 2 weeks, had a touchdown last week. The Giants wide receiver room doesn't want to get on the field. He's a shot, plug and play, grab him, scored a touchdown last week. I'll take the chance with Dante Pettis if you are like super desperate for wide receiver production.
Pettis was a very popular DFS pick last week.
He scored a touchdown.
Super cheap. And I think the week before that, yeah, he had like 11 targets or whatever. Yeah. It was something crazy.
Yeah.
So he is very much a part of that offense without
right now, at least.
Right.
They're going to trade Evan Ingram.
Yeah. I mean, for the time being, he's involved for sure. For sure. Matt, that's a show, man. I think we're done here. We talked about a little bit of everything. Had some fun. Got our Chewbacca reference in there.
Right.
I tried my new chant for the Jets. The Q-U-A-R-T-E-R-A-C-K. Back. It didn't work. Let's be honest.
I wonder if
it
you just work. Put back in. You didn't spell back.
Q-U-A-R-T-E-R. Back.
Back.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to work on it. I'll go back to the drawing board. I'll figure something out. I'm sure we'll be talking about how bad the Jets are for a while here. We could do that.
They're the Jets. They'll be okay. They'll figure it out. But no one thought Salah would turn around year one.
Matt, Packers plus 6 tomorrow. Where are you at? You on that or are you fading it?
And who do they play?
Cardinals, undefeated team.
Yeah, that's right.
In Zona.
With maybe no Hopkins, I'll still take Arizona.
Hopkins is going to play.
I think so too.
He always takes at least one day off every week.
How do we not talk about Zach Ertz?
That was pretty crazy, wasn't it?
He looks rejuvenated. Arizona, low humidity weather.
That's all it needed. That's all he needed. Just want a change of scenery.
Nothing Ertz anymore for Zach Ertz.
Nothing Ertz anymore. And on that note, I bid you for what? Farewell.
We out.
Thanks for hanging out with us on another episode of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Dads. Visit us at our website, dynastydads.com, for articles, news, and notes, Dynasty Dads gear, and more.